From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. The presumption of innocence has deep roots in our legal system, going back to ancient Rome, and it's foundational to the way the American criminal justice system is supposed to work. But as we've seen time and again, our system is not perfect, and there have been many cases across the U.S. and here in Illinois of people being released after spending years in prison for crimes they did not commit.
Sean Tyler and Reginald Henderson, who were wrongly convicted of murder, and they want their names cleared after being exonerated.
Decades after an innocent man died in prison, justice is finally served.
One bad cop preyed on innocent residents of a housing project, and now efforts are underway to exonerate them.
Nearly a decade after an Illinois man was convicted of murdering his wife and three children, investigators say they believe he's innocent.
Joyce Watkins spent decades in prison for a crime she did not commit because of bad science.
Innocence work has traditionally focused on helping the wrongfully convicted get out of prison and clear their names. But there are also efforts to stop people from being wrongfully convicted in the first place. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Beginning this year, every police recruit in Illinois is required to take a class aimed at raising awareness about wrongful convictions. The program dates back to 2016 when it was introduced at the University of Illinois Police Training Institute. Now it's universal. And joining us to talk about some of the people who are joining us to talk about that, I should say, are some of the people who are part of the organization that helped design this course. John Hanlon was the executive director of the Illinois Innocence Project at the University of Illinois Springfield. He's now retired. John, good to talk with you again. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Happy to spread the word on this very, very important project that we are proudly a part of.
Sure thing, sure thing. Also with us is Mark Beach, director of the Illinois Innocence Project's Wrongful Conviction Police Training Program. Mark, welcome. Thank you for being here as well.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And we are also joined finally by Christine Bunch. She was imprisoned for 17 years in Indiana before the Center on Wrongful Convictions at Northwestern University helped secure her release. Christine, welcome to the 21st Show, and thank you for being here as well.
Thank you. I'm thrilled that you're having us.
And I should say, yesterday afternoon, we did ask the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police if they had a perspective on the newly expanded training requirement. We did not hear back by airtime, but you can always join us on the program today by calling 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. So, John Hanlon, I want to begin with you. Can you just start by framing the problem of wrongful convictions, particularly in Illinois? What is the extent of the problem here?
Well, Illinois, unfortunately, is a leader, if that's the right term, in the fact of wrongfully convicting innocent people in terms of all the states in the country. Illinois consistently ranks in the top four. Texas, New York, and California are the other three. All of those are, of course, bigger states than Illinois. And actually, in the last 3 years, Illinois has been the leader in wrongful convictions of its citizens. This is a nationwide problem. As I said, Illinois is at the forefront, unfortunately.
Is there a number of the of people who are believed to be wrongfully convicted in Illinois?
The data shows that in 2021, the number was, just for that year alone, that there are 38 full exonerations, 38 just in that year alone, just in Illinois. Mm. Multiply that. The data is kept as far back as 1989.
Sure thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that is kept as far back as 1989, and the Illinois numbers are less than 1,000. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but it's approximately 500 of our citizens wrongfully convicted just in Illinois.
Just in Illinois, yeah. Yes. All right, Christine Bunch, I want to bring you into the conversation now. Your story with the justice system begins in 1995. When you stand up before a room full of police recruits, how do you begin this story of your wrongful conviction?
I start out by telling them who I was because I was just a young single mom that worked and went to school. And I woke up one morning to find my home on fire.
And
it's
what happened?
Important to me that they know who I was as a person before this happened, that a tragic accident stole the life of my child, and due to Faltic fire science and an ATF chemist who falsified records, it was made to look like an arson, and I was sent to prison pregnant with my second child.
What do you understand today about why the police didn't believe that it was an accidental fire?
From what I understand today, it's they trusted in the people that were giving them evidence. And so when they received evidence, they trusted that it was accurate and they followed that. There was also, you know, a number of officers who were first on scene who felt like, you know, things were questionable and they didn't pursue it because they thought the detectives would. So taking part in this program and talking to these cadets who are going to be the people that are first on scene is vitally important so that they know that the information they gather can set the course of an investigation.
Mark, before we get into the course itself, I want to ask you about your thoughts on how the police initially handled Christine's case. And I'm trying to get at, you know, what is the core problem here? Is it, you know, the idea of corruption or incompetence or just, you know, sort of biases about first impressions or something else? What do you make of why this keeps happening?
Yeah, Brian, I think it's so easy to point fingers. And, you know, certainly there are instances in Illinois history for police misconduct where police have intentionally gone out and done things the wrong way. But what we're finding is more often is as police are arriving on scene and beginning their initial investigations, they're starting to develop a narrative and an idea of how things happen. And oftentimes that is led to through evidence, through the way that people are acting on the scene. And ultimately, as in Christine's case, as she so rightfully pointed out, they relied on the testimony and the information provided to them by experts and drew their conclusions from those. And it's so easy, particularly as a young patrol officer coming into the scene, to think that, you know, somebody else with more experience is going to come and take a look at this and they're going to draw their conclusions. And so I'll just give them the information that I have and let it go from there. And it's so important for our young recruit officers, our young officers on the force, to recognize what an impact they can have on that initial investigation.
So, Mark, talk a little bit about the course. Where did the idea for this come from?
Yeah, so the idea came from this. Dr. Mike Schlosser is the director of the Police Training Institute. And back in 2015, 2016, he was pursuing a master's degree in legal studies at the University of Illinois Springfield. And he had the opportunity to take a course on wrongfully convicted persons at UIS. And that got him to thinking what an important topic this would be for his recruits here at the Police Training Institute at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. And so he broached the idea with his professors at UIS on coming together and collaborating on developing this course to present to his recruits. And then, of course, include Christine in that as an exoneree and the importance of bringing in exonerees to tell their stories to the recruits.
John, John Hanlon, you were head of the Innocence Project at the U of I Springfield, I should say, at that time. I don't know if you were actually teaching the course that we were just hearing about there, but from your perspective, can you say more about the creation of this class?
Yeah, certainly. As Mark correctly indicated, Mike Schlosser took a class at UIS in which he learned about wrongful convictions. That class was taught by a lawyer who was affiliated and worked for the Illinois Innocence Project, Dr. Gwen Jordan. And so after that class, Mike said to Dr. Jordan, I'd like for my young recruits, young cadets, to learn about wrongful convictions. And so the idea was born. And so then the rest came down to putting together a class, which we started over in Champaign on the university campus in 2017. And we've put a number of exonerees in front of the recruits to look, so that the recruits could learn their stories. We, of course, supplement the exoneree presentations with data and information regarding the problem, the scope of the problem in Illinois and nationwide. And so, yeah, it's we've been going since 2017, just in Champaign. And to have this expanded is really it's really thrilling that this is going to be taken statewide. And if I could just supplement my previous answer, every once in a while we all get lucky. And I'm looking at today's data as of literally today from the National Registry of Exonerations, and Illinois since 1989 has had 500 precisely exonerations. In other words, those are reflections of wrongful convictions. We're certain that there are many more innocent people in prison previously and certainly now, but there have been 500 exactly exonerations since 1989, with a total years served wrongfully of 3,900 years served by innocent people in Illinois prisons.
Wow. Now, Christine Bunch, your time in prison was in Indiana, and maybe a different situation there. But what was that like? You know, knowing that you were being convicted and on trial for something that you didn't do. I mean, I'm trying to get at, you know, presumably you appealed to people at that time to try and believe your story. What was that like going through that process of people disbelieving it?
I mean, it's really hard. The blessing and all of that was I gave birth to my second son. And so he really kept me strong and hopeful. I had family that stood by me and supported me. But Indiana did not have an Innocence Project that could take my case. So I reached out to Illinois, and the Center on Wrongful Convictions at Northwestern University took my case. And after they exonerated me, I moved to Illinois for a while. And that's how I became friends with the Illinois Innocence Project in Springfield and started working on this program.
And it was a long journey, right? So you were, I believe, released in 2012. It was another 8 years before the state. I mean, there was the possibility of another trial in that time. And then maybe you can just tell us about, you know, what the rest of your journey was like since that time up to the present day.
The rest of the journey.
Well, it's a long story.
I mean, yes. Yeah. people get out with no ID, no money, nothing to help, no programming, because it's not like, you know, you were released from prison on your out date. You're just, you know, sent out into the world and they hope you make it. So getting out, trying to revamp a resume when you have a 17-year hole is hard. Plus, you always have this court case behind you that you're carrying around. So for me, it was a matter of I needed to find ways that I could take what I was going through and bring about something better. So I started, you know, speaking for the Innocence Project. I'm on the Innocence Project Speakers Bureau. I started working on legislation, traveling to other states, sharing my story and explaining why things needed to be changed. And then in 2019, we were finally able to pass compensation in Indiana. And the good thing for that was, you know, you have to have clear and convincing evidence of actual innocence. And so I went before the board and they said that I fit the statute and I was actually innocent. So that was like the first day that I felt like I could breathe and didn't have something hanging over my head.
And that's 25 years really into this process.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna take a break on the program. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation. We are talking about a newly universal training requirement that police recruits in Illinois take a class on wrongful convictions. It's been taking place at one of the police training academies in Illinois, the University of Illinois, since about 2016. Now it is going to be a universal requirement for all police recruits in all the different training academies across the state, Chicago, State Police, and others. We're talking about this with Christine Bunch, who was exonerated after being wrongfully convicted in Indiana many years ago. We're also speaking with Mark Beach, who's director of the police training program for the Illinois Innocence Project. I should say the Wrongful Conviction Police Training Program for the Illinois Innocence Project, and the former retired executive director of the Illinois Innocence Project, John Hanlon. If you want to join our conversation, 800-222-9455 is the number to call. That's 800-222-9455. More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. For 150 years, Busey has helped business owners and entrepreneurs navigate financial decisions, achieve long-term goals, and realize dreams of success. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.
This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just joining us, we're talking about a newly required training program for all police recruits in Illinois on wrongful convictions. It does date back to 2016, but it was just happening at the University of Illinois Police Training Institute. Now it's going to be universal for all police trainees across the state. We're talking about this with Mark Beach, who is director of the Illinois Innocence Project's Wrongful Conviction Police Training Program. Also, John Hanlon, retired executive director of the Illinois Innocence Project at the University of Illinois Springfield, and Christine Bunch, who is an exoneree, the Northwestern Pritzker School of Law's Center on Wrongful Convictions helped secure her release more than a decade ago after spending 17 years in prison in Indiana. We are open to calls during our program today. 800-222-9455 is the number if you want to join our conversation today. That's 800-222-9455. And in fact, let's go to the phones now. Nancy is calling in from Rockford on line four. Nancy, thank you for calling in.
Yes, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. I wanted to see if Mark Beach is aware of a case coming up, which I will be attending. The Richard Wonke, his name is Richard Wonke. He is trying to get exonerated for a murder conviction in Winnebago County.
Yeah, I am not. As the director of the Wrongful Conviction Awareness and Avoidance course, I don't do work in the innocence cases. We have attorneys that are dedicated to that, and they may very well be aware of that case.
I'm pretty sure it's pretty aware. Most people are pretty much aware of it statewide.
Sure.
It's pretty prominent up here in Winnebago County, and I will be attending that hearing, and hopefully he will get exonerated.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that, Nancy. Appreciate the call today. You know, Mark, let me ask you some about the reception to this class. I'm interested how the recruits have responded to it, and then also sort of the official reception from the Illinois Law Enforcement Training and Standards Boards. That's a double-barreled question. Maybe you can start with the recruits and then move on to the sort of the official response.
Yeah, absolutely. And thankfully, both are overwhelmingly responsive to this. As we bring this course into the academies, and in fact, we just had a class this past Friday here at PTI, and the students are overwhelmingly positive. They're of course, excited. They're in the academy. They've been learning a variety of subjects, and so to them, hearing this course is good, and They're excited to learn new things, but it's impactful. And as you look around the room at the students, and particularly as Christine or other exonerees are sharing their stories, and you see tears in their eyes. And, you know, we had this class on a Friday, and we ended the class, and the students were all welcome to leave to head home for the weekend. And they stuck around for another hour just to talk to us and to talk to staff and to talk to the exonerees that were in attendance about their cases. So that should tell you something about the impact that it has on our students.
Well, let me ask Christine, what has been your response? What have you heard from police officers as you speak to them about your case and this problem in general?
Most of the time they share with me, you know, that it really touched them because they're parents. And so they have young children at home, and they feel like, you know, anybody could be swept up into a situation like mine. So it really brought awareness to their lives. I think what's most meaningful for me is many of the cadets that have left the course have reached out later on to tell me how they're doing in their careers. One even invited me to a class he was taking and asked me to share my story with the class. So I think the response is always great. And for me, I really needed it. I was scared to go in there with that many police officers.
Mm-hmm.
They have really changed my biases and made me feel a new level of comfort. It's exciting to know that we're going to change the future.
Mark, why did it, I mean, was the Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board a little, was there any reluctance to make this a statewide requirement? Or talk about that journey from this just happening at PTI for, 7 years now, to becoming a statewide standard?
Yeah, and, you know, is there anytime there's change proposed, some people embrace change wholeheartedly and others don't. And so as this project was kicking off with Mike Schlosser and the IIP back in 2017, there was some reluctance from the Training and Standards Board on bringing this project forward and having it as part of the curriculum. But over the years, as we recognize, and as our, particularly as our communities are begging for change in law enforcement across our country, the Training and Standards Board, kudos to them, to their executive leadership today, that they said, look, how can we do things better? How can we improve police training so that we don't see some of the instances of wrongful convictions and other issues across the state of Illinois? And so they embraced this class and made it mandatory in all of the academies. And I also want to, you know, kind of reflect in our conversations with the different academies across the states as we've been setting up dates for these classes to come to their academies. They were all in favor. They were all on board, excited about the opportunity for their recruits to learn about this program and to see ways that we can better law enforcement. It's easy to point fingers, but any police officer that you talk to that's doing things the right way wants things done the right way. And we want to alleviate police misconduct. We want to eliminate wrongful convictions just like anybody else does. And this training program is exciting to all the officers that I've spoken with in recruit academies as well as outside.
John Hanlon, I know you're retired now, but what are the next frontiers in innocence work from a systematic level, right? Obviously, case by case, there are innocence projects at UIS and at Northwestern and other locations across the country that are trying to help people who've been wrongfully convicted. But systemically, right? We've talked in the past, I think, about fire science in particular, which obviously was a big part, or fire pseudoscience, or I guess if it was fabricated evidence, maybe that doesn't even come into it in Christine's case here. But, you know, the idea of questions about that. We've on this program, we've talked about the supposed 911 call analysis and some of the problems with that. Systemically, John Hanlon, what do you see as the next frontiers for this sort of work?
Brian, a very fair question, and I think that the answer is a long series of items in particular. So in 2009, I'll go back just to try to look forward. I'll go back for just a moment. In 2009, The National Academy of Sciences issued a report which informed all of us who do work in this area that only DNA is actual real science, something that came out of a lab. And that all the other areas of forensics, literally all of them other than DNA, were lacking in scientific foundation. And so part of what is to be looked for and hopefully achieved in coming years is that there will be more work done in all of the other areas. The report specifies approximately 15 or 16, I can't remember the precise number, different areas where forensic evidence is introduced into courtrooms, but that it is, again, not properly scientifically based in terms of research and what actual science is in terms of repeatability and error rates and eliminating biases. So we're looking forward to that. I have a particular interest in another area that's a very difficult area, and I hope that there's some progress in the area of, it's very sad, but shaken baby cases. Shaken baby is a diagnosis that has come under great, great controversy, yet that kind of testimony is still being introduced in our courtrooms today. So the emotional aspects of that case make it very difficult for the system to look at it. But I think that eventually that's going to be done because there are innocent people who have been convicted of shaking a baby, and then they go to prison, and then eventually some of them get straightened out and some still have not been straightened out. But that's another area that I would look at. And because Brian and everyone, this, one thing that you asked about IIP and how the program gets started, Mike Schlosser, to his credit, knew and realized that there is nobody benefits from a wrongful conviction, including police officers. In fact, IIP and other innocence organizations, we have much in common with the police. We should, and we do, want to get the right person out of prison and the guilty party into prison. We are very good with guilty people being incarcerated. We do not want to get anyone in who is guilty out of prison. We have much in common with the police in that respect. And credit again to Mike, and now to Marcus coming on board. Credit to them for seeing this and being a part of this.
Christine, I want to give you the last word in our conversation today as our time is coming to an end. When you walk away from these sessions, what is the one big idea or the mindset that you hope police recruits will take away from hearing from you and others on wrongful convictions?
I think the biggest hope that I have is that they will realize that not everything is as it appears. I mean, you talked about, junk science. In my arson case, they talked a lot about what they looked at and could see. There was no scientific method to determine the cause of fire. They looked and said, oh, well, this had to be an arson. It was nothing but. And a lot of people looked at me and said, no, she's a young party girl. She shouldn't be a mom. This totally fits. So my hope is that they will take a look at me and say, okay, if there is a story being built about a person, we need to take a deeper look. We can't judge the outside. We have to dig a little bit deeper.
Christine Bunch, Mark Beach, and John Hanlon, thank you all so much for being with us today on the 21st show.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.